Psalm 119, we will not look at all the verses in Psalm 119 for those of you that have already turned over and seen how many verses are in Psalm 119. But I want to talk to you about this. This is the title for the message today, okay? And I'll be savvy of your time. Here's the message title. I believe the Bible, now what do I do? I believe the Bible, now what do I do? See, I think all of us in this room, probably if I went around and took a survey and said, okay, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Most everybody, if not everybody, would say, yes, I do. If you didn't, you would not be sitting in this church. There are churches you might be sitting in this morning and you could not answer that question with an affirmative and you wouldn't be as dogmatic about it. But you would not be sitting here this morning if you did not believe that the Bible was and is the Word of God. But now that you believe it's the Word of God, what do you do? See, one of the things we have to realize is this book is the true north for our life. One of the things I was talking with one of the men I was watching Pastor yesterday, actually with his killer instinct in ping pong. And my wife wanted to play ping pong with me, and she said, I want to beat you. I said, that won't be hard. I am not really gifted as an athlete. My wife is. She's good. She's a good athlete. My kids were good at basketball. It's because my wife is good at basketball. I look like I would be good at basketball. It is it's a mirage. It's a deception. I am not. I am not good at anything athletic. Hiking is the only thing I'm good at. And it is supposed to be a non-contact sport, and I can make that a contact sport. I am just not good. But for long distances, I can hike 20 miles a day and up the big mountains there in Adirondacks, and I do well, and I love it. And so I have to know about true north, and I have to be able to read a compass and so on. In order to do that, you've got to know the difference between true north and magnetic north. Now, for some of you, you go, I don't get it, and I don't really care. And that's okay if you're not going to go hiking in the woods, but if you're going to go hiking, you do have to know the difference. And I would submit to you today that it's important that we know the difference between true north when it comes to the Word of God and magnetic north. That's what's going on in our world today. Because this book is the true north of our lives. And what happens, see, true north is based on, okay, this is where the physical, geographical North Pole is. Magnetic north is just the pull of the north. And what happens is that's about 5 degrees off, and for those of you who really care. So with that in mind, if you aren't careful for about 10 miles, you could be 4,600 feet off of your target where you want to be. And if you do that very long, you're lost. Well, here's what happens in our world today. If we do not follow true north, but we follow the thing that many churches and many people will tell you, this is the pull of the world. This is the pull of the truth. But it's not based on what we really know. Not long, we're off target. And we're following something that sounded good, but it's really not based on the true north of our lives. We need to know what the Word of God has to say. And in order for that to be true, understand something. You cannot separate the Word Jesus, okay, from the Word the Bible. You can't separate that. The only way that we can understand the Scripture is not to accept them blindly, but to read them in light of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Oswald Chambers said that. He said it in a book that I didn't even know existed until just a couple of years ago, written, it's called Baffled to Fight Better. Never even heard of it. Baffled to Fight Better. It's a book on the book of Hebrews. He said, you'll never understand it without a relationship to Jesus Christ. John 1:1 says this, in the beginning was the Word, Logos. Okay? In the beginning was the Word, Logos, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus, the incarnate Word, and the Bible, the written Word. You must have both.
And both the guide, Jesus, and our guidebook, the Bible, are the true north of our life. And we need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because he's our example, and we got to be involved with this book so that we have the instructions. So with all of that said, what do we do? I believe the Bible. Great. So what do I do with it? What do I do with it? Well, here's what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to talk fast, and you're going to listen fast, okay? And so if you want to jot down a couple of notes, you're welcome to. But here's, we just need to think through. What do we do with it? And you may have even heard this before. It's just kind of a something I had thought through. I heard it somewhere. It's not original with me. You know the definition of an original idea? It's just you forgot where you heard it. And so this is my original idea because I can't remember where I heard it. And so four things very quickly. Number one, I believe the Bible. Now what do I do? Well, here's what I do. Number one, I study it through. I study it through. I study it through with a view to obedience. George Mueller said this. He said, read the Bible until your heart is warmed. See, understand something. We need to not only have correct orthodoxy, in other words, our belief system, but I want to use another word, and I'm not just trying to throw out words this morning, but we need to have correct orthopraxy, in other words, with the way that we live. We need to have a correct belief system, and we ought to practice what we believe. One of the issues, I think, today in our world is that we don't actually know what we believe. We say, I believe the Bible, but it's just kind of general because we really don't study it and understand it enough to live it out every day. And so the idea is, I believe the Bible, so now what do I do? What I do is I study it through so that it becomes a part of my life in such a way that I know it so well, not just answers, not just so that I can fill in the blanks on a quiz, but I know it so well that now I can come over here and I can live it. It just becomes a part of what I do. It's a part of my DNA, if you would. I don't have to think about it. It just happens. I get in my car, and I turn on the ignition. And when I turn on the ignition, then I put it in drive or park or reverse or whatever. And then I start going. There are probably a dozen things that I do in that car that I don't think about any longer. Now, there are probably things that I do that I should think about. But I just do them because I have made them a part of my life, and now I just do them. That's the concept here. Study it through. Let me give you some verses, and all of these are going to come out of Psalm 119 from this point on. Okay, every verse out of Psalm 119. Study it through with your whole heart. In verse 10 of Psalm 119, it says this, with my whole heart have I sought thee, oh, let me not wander from your commandments, thy commandments. He says, study it through. So instead of me reading all the verses at the beginning, we're just going to look at them one by one. Study it through with your whole heart. Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. It's with our whole heart. We approach the word of God with our whole heart, not just kind of we read it and we're not really there. Have you ever had that situation where you've read a Bible passage and when you got done, you had no idea what you read? Okay, come on, be honest. Let me ask that again. Have you ever read a Bible passage and when you got done, you had no idea what you read?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right. I have too. And I got done reading and I'm thinking, I have no idea. Why was that? I didn't approach it with my heart. I just was there. And he said, I think we need to study it through with our heart. We need to study it through, first of all, with our whole heart. Secondly, with an open mind. It's the teachable spirit. 12 times in this psalm, the psalmist says this, teach me. Teach me. 12 times. With a teachable spirit. Verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Again, what is he saying? I have an open mind. What you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. Teach me. My dad was an awesome teacher.
My wife knows this. I just respected my dad so much. My dad came to Christ after I did. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. My dad had not gone through the fifth grade, sixth grade. We never could quite determine. He never quite determined. But yet he just was an incredible teacher. He taught me so many things. But when he would teach me something, I could get it and I could just go practice it because of the way he would just teach me. And one of the things I noticed about my dad, other young men would say to me, I just want to learn from your dad. And I remember a young man wanting to learn from my dad. And he came over to the house to learn. We had a garage in our backyard. He came over to learn. And my dad started showing him something. And this guy was not plugged in. He was not listening. He was not making application. And I watched my dad shut down. He just shut down. And I'm watching my dad. I'm trying, what's going on? And after they went through a little bit of time, and then my dad just started talking about something else and so on. Finally, he just said, hey, you know what? It's been great having you here. You know, kind of basically see you later. And after he left, I said, Dad, what's going on? He said, he didn't want to know what I had to talk about. He wasn't teachable. He said, why would I waste my time? He said, I'd rather spend time with you. You want to know. We need to have that open mind. Thirdly, we need to have an expectant spirit. I love this one. Verse 18, he says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. When was the last time that you and I approached the Word of God and we were so excited we couldn't wait to see what we were going to get? The men know this. We talked about it a little bit this weekend that our daughter was killed several years ago. When she was young, when she was growing up, we were worried about her, and for some reason, because when she was growing up, and she was our first child, so we were worried about everything. Okay, after you have two, a little less. After you have three, after you have, you know, like a house full, and you're repopulating the whole world, like Josh, you know, I mean, I don't have a clue what you're doing. Okay, but when Misty was born, okay, she would walk around everywhere on her tiptoes. And I said, Betsy, that can't be good for her. I guess when you get, you know, it's the first child. So you're worried about everything. You're going, now your parents are going, grandparents are sitting here, you're going, what's the big deal? So she walked around on tiptoes like that. And finally one day we figured it out. Okay? She would walk up to the dresser. I know you've never had anybody do it, but maybe you do this too. Okay, but anyway, I mean... y'all probably never going to invite me back, so anyway. Okay. She'd come up to the dresser and get up on her tiptoes like that. You know why she was on her tiptoes? She wasn't quite tall enough to see up on the table and the dresser and the places where all the cool stuff was. That's the spirit we need when we approach the Scriptures. I just got it. I want to see a little bit more. When was the last time we did that? As opposed to, okay, I got to read 10 chapters today because I didn't read my chapters yesterday, you know, and I got to finish up and check this off because we're reading it together as a church. Maybe you are, maybe you're not, I don't know. But, you know, I got to do this. Verse 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Wow. See, We do this for a different thing. Number one, what do? Number one, we study it through. Number two, we pray it in. We pray it in. We don't just study the Word of God and we read through it and so on, but what do? We pray it in. What changes your life is not, Dr. Johnny Hunt, a friend of mine, a pastor from the Southeast, said this, what changes your life is not the promises you make God, but it is believing the promises that He made to you. Psalm 119, verse 2 says, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. Verse 48 says, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Verse 97 says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. See, it's not just something I read it and I walk away and I'm done, but I think about it and I meditate on it all day long. What do? We pray it in. We personalize it. We make it so that it's applicable to us. It's not generic. It's not vague. One person said it this way, all of God's giants were weak men who did great things for God because they just simply personalized the scriptures and they reckoned on God to be with them and used that word in their lives. Personalize the word of God. Internalize the scriptures. Make it a part of your life. Think through it as you're reading through that. And be an on-the-spot reporter. When David goes down to fight Goliath, be there with him. Help him pick out the rocks that you're going to use to kill Goliath. Be in the scriptures. Be a part of it. Don't just be a spectator. Meditate on the word. Let it run through your heart. Let it be a part of your life. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, nobody ever outgrows Scripture. The book widens and deepens with our years. When I talk about praying through Scripture, I'm not talking about anything that's mysterious. I'm not talking about anything that's... I'm just very simply, you look at the Scripture, Psalm 119, and verse 17, I'm just going to pick, deal bountifully with thy servant. And you look at it and you say, Lord, I need you to do something in my life. I need you to work with me. I'm your servant that I may live and keep your word. God, I'm struggling and I don't feel alive. I don't feel like I'm keeping your word. I need something to happen in my life so that I'm more obedient. All you're doing is you're just taking the time to make application. Study it through. Pray it in. Don't let it just lay there and it's something that's for somebody else. No, it's for us. Number three, live it out. Live it out. Let me ask you this question. Is there anything happening in your life that cannot be attributed to you in your own power? In your Christian life, is there anything happening in your Christian life that cannot be attributed to you and your own power? See, unfortunately, there's a lot that goes on in my life that, I mean, it's just me. It doesn't require a lot of God. Dr. Billy Graham asked this question, or he made this statement. He said, if it is not supernatural, it is superficial. Live it out. How do you live it out? Number one, live it out in your desires. Verse 9, in Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse 17, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Lord, my desires. I want my desires for you. I want to live and I want to keep thy word. That's how I want to live. Verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Boy, what a great verse, huh? God, I know your word, and I chose to live the way of truth. And thy judgments have I laid before me. Psalm 119, verse 45, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Now, there's a whole brand new concept. You know what we think? If I surrender to God, and I live according to the true north of the word of God, you know what that means? I am going to be confined. I'm going to be restricted. But you know what he says? If we submit to him and his precepts, we're going to walk at liberty. We're going to be freer than we've ever been before. But we miss that. Verse 59, I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. We live out of desires. What a great verse. Secondly, we live it out in our friendships. Young people and adults alike. This is not just for students. Verse 63, I am a companion of all of them that fear thee and that keep thy precepts. That's pretty clear as to how we choose friends, isn't it? I'm a companion of all those who fear you and of all those who walk with you. I was talking to a young person one day and they said, how do I know how to choose friends? I said, well, here's the idea. If you're very, very best friend is somebody who is not on fire for God, they're not a believer, they're not on fire for God, then one of you is compromising. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have friends that do not know Christ. You should, because you ought to be helping bring them to Christ. I'm not saying you shouldn't have friends that are walking and going the wrong direction. You should. You ought to be helping bring them back. But if your very best friends, the people that are the closest to you, are the people that are there, that's all the kind of friends you're working with and are connected with, somebody's compromising. Something's going on.
Psalm 119, verse 95, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. We live it out, thirdly, another way, in our choices. In our choices. Psalm 19, verse 101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Verse 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. See, in a struggle for temptation, listen carefully, in a struggle for temptation, we usually live our values, not our beliefs. See, I can say, I believe that's wrong, but unless it has become an intricate part of my life and it really is one of my values, that's just something I believe, I'm going to give that away. I'll sell that quickly. It's got to be something that's in the depth of my soul. Lastly, and very quickly, study it through, pray it in, live it out, and fourthly and lastly, pass it on. Pass it on. Psalm 119, verse 13 says, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. We talk about it. We talk about it. Everywhere we go, we talk about it. We talk about it. But we only talk about it if our lives are going to match our lips. Verse 46, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and not be ashamed. We talk about it, but now we're passing it on by the way we talk because we've been passing it on by the way that we live. It's just been a natural thing now that we talk about it. But we talk about it because we've been living it. Am I saying we gotta live it and then we talk about it? No, I'm saying we live it and talk about it. I'm saying we talk about it and live it. I'm saying it comes out both. I'm saying we charge. Am I saying, you got to do this for this song and then you go do that? No, I'm just saying, let's go. But it's the Word of God living in our lives. And we be as clear as the Bible is clear, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. And we share by life and by lip. Gypsy Smith was an evangelist of years gone by. Gypsy Smith made this comment. I love this comment. He said, what makes the difference is not how many times you have been through the Bible, but how many times and how thoroughly the Bible has been through you. I could say I've read the Bible every year for the last 25 years, and it means absolutely nothing other than I got a gold star. But if I can tell you that the Bible has gone through me 25 times in the last 25 years, that is impactful. So what do? We study it through. We study it through. We pray it in. We want it to become a part of our lives so that we're sharing the good news. Let me just read this little thing by Martin Luther and then we'll close in prayer and I'll turn it over to Pastor. It's called God's Unchanging Word. For feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart, whose word cannot be broken. I trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. For though all things shall pass away, his word shall stand forever. Study it through, pray it in, live it out, pass it on, so that it becomes a reality in our lives. Let's close in prayer. Father, today we just pray that you would help each of us, that we would allow the Word of God to become real, that we would take it as the true north of our lives. We would not be pulled aside by the magnetic north, that which many people would even talk about, the things that resemble the truth. But we would be so acquainted with your truth that we would know it and follow it. Our lives would be testimonies of your truth, and we would live it out every single day. And as a result, that people would be turning from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto yourself.